All right. Well, welcome to Movie Dudes, episode 81. I am Jeff, joined as always by Chris.
Hey.
We're trying something new out here for recording, so.
Yeah, hopefully this works.
Hopefully this works, and it's possible you could be watching it on YouTube if you want. As well, we took a week off because there was nothing going on last week. But within the last week, a lot has happened. So we have a lot of brand new movies for tonight. And we're going to start off with the big one. Well, it was hopefully going to be big. Looks like it didn't do great box office, but the big new movie that was in theaters, The Nice Guys. Christopher, how do you feel about The Nice Guys?
It's okay. I think Russell Crowe and Ryan Gosling they're good in it, but I didn't think it was super hysterical. Like, was not the comedy. I had heard, this is like the best buddy comedy in a long time, and it was okay. It's like it was an okay buddy cop movie. I thought
We did not share our opinions on this beforehand. Other than I asked you how you liked it, and you just said meh.
Yeah. You had saw that I had gone to see it on Sunday morning, and you had asked what I thought of it, and I gave you the one word response of meh.
Which is fine, and we have not discussed it any further than that. I guess I'll let you give your longer take on it if you have more to say, but. Spoilers, I liked it more than you by quite a bit.
Which I think is fine. It's just something about it like didn't maybe click as much with me, I guess. So,
you were prepared to talk about it? Or?
I mean, I can. It's
okay.
Russell Crowe is basically a for-hire thug. And Ryan Gosling is a private investigator of sorts.
I guess he's a mess.
Yeah, he's a mess. He used to be on the police force, I think. I think that was explained in there at some point. But he is kind of a nightmare. He's an alcoholic. He's a terrible dad. It starts off really early by the two of them link up because Russell Crowe's been hired to kind of get Ryan Gosling's character to back off of trying to find this girl. And he, you know, Ryan Gosling is just trying to find it for this old lady who thinks that her daughter or her granddaughter, who's this famous porn actress, Misty Mountains, thinks that she saw her alive, and it turns out that she didn't or whatever. But so Ryan Gosling's character's been chasing down this other girl that, you know, it all links up, and then all of a sudden somehow Russell Crowe's character gets threatened by these it's like strong arm thugs and
guys that are looking for the same girl.
Yeah, for the same girl, and he decides, so I'm going to go back and hire this private investigator whose arm I just broke, and we're going to find this girl together so that I can go back to my life and he can go back to his, and everyone gets paid lots of money. And
why we're looking for this girl is not really clear, a lot of it.
Not at all. It's probably not clear up until about halfway through, I guess, even a little bit more than that. It just keeps ramping up more and more the ridiculousness of it all. But, I think Gosling and Crowe work together really well. We've talked about this on past Movie Dudes. I feel it's probably like 25 minutes too long or so.
It's a bit long. It just
drags.
It's about 2 hours.
Yeah. There are parts that I think are really funny, and then it just kind of stagnates for 10 minutes or so, and then it'll be fun. I think if they could have tightened it up, I would have liked it a whole lot more. It's just kind of this goofy – it's a 70s film too. Like, it takes place in the 70s, so it all kind of ties around that era of of life and the ridiculousness that's going on then.
I was on the fence for like probably to like the halfway point, and there came a point where I started to realize that I really liked these two guys and I kind of liked that world. And I got more and more on board as I went along, and I realized that I was kind of having more fun than I even thought. I think that the comedy really worked for me in it. Two goofy guys who see, like, Russell Crowe is competent at beating the hell out of people, but other than that, they don't seem very competent detectives.
No, no, they're not at all.
And anything that they kind of solved is by accident or it falls in their lap. And I found that kind of, like, I found it funny. Like, I mean, I guess it's, I think it hinges on whether, like, the comedy works for you. And I thought it was, like, really funny. And everyone in the theater, like, it seemed to be working. Like, it wasn't a packed theater, but everyone was laughing. And there's just, like, a lot of parts that, like, stick out to me. Like, the part when one lady slips on the coffee and they're like, oh, well, I guess that worked out.
Right. Yeah, she throws the – so it's towards the it's definitely in, like, the last act of the movie.
Yeah.
And Ryan Gosling's characters, he has his daughter. For whatever reason, she is on this, like, this kind of mission with them. And she knows that her dad and Russell Crowe have been captured and are probably at gunpoint from this other lady. So she's trying to sneak in and surprise the lady. And she gets in. And she throws this pot of coffee at the attacker, and it's cold coffee. Just kind of splashes in her face. It's just like, what is going on? I think Ryan Gosling even looks over at her. And he's like, I like where your head's at.
Yes. But then it still somehow ends up working. Yeah, well, you know what I mean? She slips
and hits her head. And yeah, it's like everything in it is just kind of happens by circumstance. Like they're not good detectives. They're not even really good people. And I think that's actually one of that comes up often in the movie. Like Ryan Gosling even asks his daughter, like, am I a good person? She's like, no.
And it's just like kind of like the slapstick and physical comedy of it. Like just like, there's a part where I think Russell Crowe's like, throw me the gun. And he like throws him the gun and just goes right through the window behind him. Like he completely misses. There's a part where two characters fall off of like a building and one of them lands safely in a pool and the guy next to him lands like, right next to the pool. Explodes into guts. Just kind of like really goofy stuff like that where like just these bumbling idiots are somehow getting stuff solved. And I'm like, I just really enjoyed it more than I thought I was going in. I was interested in the movie, but I never was like, it was never for sure like for me. And then when you're saying it's meh, I'm like, I don't know. Well, we'll see. Maybe I liked it more because I got a shitload of nachos and popcorn. But I don't know.
I was there at 10:15 in the morning, so I wasn't having nachos and popcorn. that might have improved my mood on it.
I don't know. I really, and by the time we get to the end, I don't want to go into real any spoilers with the mystery or anything, but when we get near the end, it's like these two characters are sitting in a bar and they're finally getting drunk together. I was like, I want to see another movie with these two guys where Russell Crowe drinks it.
where they're both just bumbling idiots. Like,
And there's a great like punchline to the whole story, I thought, in this bar scene where he talks about electric cars. And I don't want to get into the whole mystery because I don't want to spoil it for people. But I think you know what I'm talking about, where he says something about electric cars in the next 5 years. It's just, I don't know. Like, I like the humor. I like the kind of like darkness to the humor where there's like violence mixed in and just these two idiots like solving this mystery. And I ended up liking this like kind of like Chinatown type mystery where they're trying to solve something. It's like a disappearance type thing. And the plot is something larger. There's a larger conspiracy behind it. It's a very typical like noir plot, but I like it. You know, I actually dug it more than I thought I would going in. So to me, I'd say, I don't know. I really enjoyed the movie, actually. So I'm going 4 out of 5 on it, man.
I'm gonna stick with my my meh rating, I guess, and I'm gonna go 3 out of 5. But it's fun. Like, I think if you like, maybe that's what it was for me. Is like, I'm not really a slapstick type of.
I'm not usually either, but this is well done slapstick. I think, like, this is not like lowbrow stupidity. Like, it's right. Really clever. I think the things that they're coming up with. But yeah, I guess I can see, like, if it's not going to click with you, like if that kind of humor is not going to click at all, I guess I could see it. But I really enjoyed these guys, and I wouldn't mind seeing a sequel to it. Although it looks like by the box office it did, I'd be surprised.
Yeah, it seems like it just did. I guess it did okay. Certainly didn't do great.
It did like 11 million or something domestic. That's the last I saw.
Yeah,
I'm not super fantastic. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's not like a straight bomb, but it's not like a runaway hit. Like, they didn't pull in any 30 million over the weekend or anything like that. So
no, that's for sure. I mean, that was left to the Angry Birds and Captain America. So
surprised me that Angry Birds did so well. I don't know why, but it did. I saw another brand new movie in theaters, and that is Neighbors 2. It is, well, I should back up a little bit. Right before I saw Neighbors 2, I saw the original Neighbors.
Oh, so what did you think of the original Neighbors? I enjoyed it when I saw it.
I thought it was perfectly enjoyable.
Right. Like, okay.
Goofy comedy. I liked the chemistry between, like, Dave Franco and Zac Efron, and then between Rose Byrne and Seth Rogen. I liked the characters and stuff, and so, like, it was, I think it's neat that I thought laugh out loud. I guess kind of like how I would, kind of how we were talking about Sisters, where it's, like, more silly than you're really, like, blown away by
right.
it. But I enjoyed it enough that by the end of it, I was like, yeah, I will gladly spend another 90 minutes with these characters. So I went and saw that, like, I think right around when it came out. And I'd say the sequel is very much a sequel to Neighbors. Like, it's sticking to the formula that they established in the first one, and you know, it's delivering you the same type of movie, and although maybe a little bit better than the first one. There's maybe a little bit more meat on the bones to it. So the story of the sequel is. And another thing I should throw out right at the top is that any character that you saw in Neighbors 1 is in Neighbors 2. Everyone.
Really?
The cop. Lisa Kudrow is the dean. All the frat brothers that were in the first one, they are here in this one. And they have some fun with where these characters are now. Especially, I think the shining light in the whole movie is Zac Efron. It's very funny. Well, and we'll get into that in a minute. But so the story is that and Rose Byrne, they live in the same house as before, but the house next to them is vacant now. That frat is gone. I don't know where the hell it went. And then we introduce new characters with, what's her name? Chloe Moretz and two other girls. One of the girls I think is from the movie Dope. Anyways, so they try to form their own sorority, and they move into the house next to Seth Rogen and Rose Byrne's characters. And, you know, we get the same kind of thing again where we don't want the sorority house throwing parties next to us. On top of that, you have so very early on, you get to see where these frat guys from the first movie are. They, like, have, like, a poker night, and they're, like, older characters now. They're all kind of successful except for Zac Efron, who's still works at the retail store that he was at the end of the first one. He's just like a model who stands shirtless outside.
It's like an Abercrombie and Fitch or something like that.
Yes. He's still there. Like one of the one guy who was from Superbad, I can't remember his name in Superbad. From Superbad, you know what I'm talking about?
McLovin?
Yes. He was in the first Neighbors. Now, like, in this one, he's like a successful millionaire because he's got some, like phone app. You know, one of the characters is a cop now. I forgot what Dave Franco's character is now. is revealed to be gay, and he's getting married. And he just has Zac Efron, like, who is, he's not progressed at all, about how everyone he works with is so young. He's like, when did retail workers become so young? So anyways, that's kind of the setup you have going on. And it ends up that Zac Efron, he finds his purpose in life by helping the sorority out, like figuring out how to form their sorority and kind of being a thorn in the side against Seth Rogen and Rose Byrne again. It's funny, like, it's on the same level as the first one, I would say, except it's got a little more going on. I don't know if you heard about the whole, like, feminist, where...
No.
It's got a message, you know, it's a movie that's kind of paying attention to what's going on in the culture a little bit, and the reason that these girls are forming their own sorority is because in the beginning of the movie, they try to join a sorority, and they find out that they can't throw their own parties, and they can only go to frat house parties. And this is a true thing. The thing is that frat house parties suck, and they're super sexist. So, like, Chloe Moretz is like, screw this. I'm forming my own sorority where we could just, like, smoke pot and, like, have our own types of parties and watch The Fault in Our Stars and shit like that. And it does, like, I think it does have, like, a pretty positive message in that aspect. And, it, like, the movie is very open about talking about, like, those kind of issues a little bit. But overall, it's still just, like, a goofy, you know, funny 90-minute ride that, or it might be a little bit longer, I don't know. But it feels short and sweet. And if you're a fan of the first movie, enjoy the sequel. To get to see those characters again and to see how they, like, kind of progress those characters. And I do think that, like, Zac Efron is, like, a major highlight of the sequel. Like, he was funny in the first one as well, but hit him here as, like, you know, he's older now, and so, like, the only thing he knows is no longer applies to his life anymore, so he's just trying to figure out what to do with his life. I'm fine with that, I think. And there's a fun little tailgate scene in the middle of the movie that's kind of shot like an action scene where they're trying to steal pot from the sorority girls. I don't know. Favors one I think you'll enjoy too. I think they're both kind of 3 stars for me. So
sure.
I you know, they're not amazing, but they're fun movies, and I think that fans of the first will enjoy the sequel. All right, so those are the two bigger ones that have come out in theaters lately. You saw another one. You said it was like a straight to video.
It's a video on demand new release called Most Likely to Die. It's a slasher horror film, kind of in the vein of you know, Friday the 13th and films like that. It was written back around the time Scream came out, and it was shelved since then.
Like 20 years?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
And so it definitely kind of has that that kind of a vibe of like a 90s era slasher film, like a, let's say, Scream or I Know What You Did Last Summer. Like those types of films, but like super low budget, super low rent, no name actors at all, except for who did they get? Let me actually look this up because it was an interesting one. Like you're like, he looks familiar, because it's Gary Busey's brother, Jake Busey.
Okay.
So, like, not anybody, like, super important. Like, I mean, he's done a lot of acting, but...
Yeah.
But he's not, like, the, you know, the Busey that everybody knows is Gary Busey. And they get this guy, and he was only there for, evidently, like, half a day of filming. So all of his stuff is just, like, straight up front and filmed. And he plays, like, the creepy, leering housekeeper guy. And, It's a bad movie all the way around. So it the premise is that all these people are getting together for their 10-year anniversary, their 10-year reunion of graduating high school. And you know how like in the yearbook, like you have most likely to, you know, win the lottery or prettiest person or whatever. That's where this kind of all comes from is, you know, these people that are at this gathering, they were all part of the yearbook staff or whatever. And they played a prank and kind of crossed out one of these other students and named him most likely to die. And it was all deemed a prank or whatever, but now that these people are all together, they're slowly dying one by one in gruesome, ridiculous ways, including the caretaker. And there's a reveal at the end that's ridiculous and makes zero sense. Like they basically like you find out who the killer has been all this time and why he's been killing everybody, and his motivations for it are just completely absurd, and they come out of left field. Like you don't understand why anything is happening here. And there are a couple pretty cool deaths, but overall it's a film that probably should have stayed buried, 20 years ago and not be made now. 'Cause it's not a good thing. There's very little suspense. I do like the name of the killer is called The Graduate, and he wears a cap and gown and like a mask, and he just kind of stalks around like Jason Voorhees type throughout the film. But it's really ridiculous. Oh, the other big name person in the movie is a paparazzi guy, Perez Hilton. And he's actually pretty funny. Oh, he's actually mildly enjoyable. It's like he just over the top. He just completely throws everything. He overacts it all, and it actually works for him. So, but
it's just funny though. Like the two biggest stars are Jake Busey,
yeah, and Perez Hilton. So like right there, you kind of know. Yeah. And I was like, I'm in the mood for a ridiculous, you know, bad horror film. And I watched it, and it was bad, but I had fun with it. It was ridiculous. But yeah, it's a 2-star movie all the way. So.
Yeah, I probably would.
Yeah, that's not that one.
To be clear, it was. Hello?
Yeah, what was that, Jeff?
I so you were over me there. I don't know if I was getting any like all robotic sounding or not, but
That's weird.
It's most likely my computer. So like,
yeah, you sound fine now. You did cut out a little bit, but
okay. Well, we'll try to get through this last here, and then I might have to do. But anyways, one other new movie that's new to video, it's the latest film from Michael Moore.
Okay.
It was a total flop. I guess it performed worse than any of his movies ever. It's actually very good, though. Obviously there's going to be a large segment of people that just don't like Michael Moore and agree with his politics. But even so, I'd say it's an interesting film. Like of it, he's going around to all these other countries, and he's kind of borrowing things from them. He's quote unquote invading these countries and finding things that they do there that they do better than in America, and saying, "Why don't we steal that? Why don't we steal that?" And so, like one of the first countries he goes to is Italy, and in Italy they have like. Eight weeks of paid vacation a year and crazy, you know. So why don't we steal that? And, you know, school, like a 20-minute thing where the kids shove a bunch of crap down their, like garbage down their throat and go back to class. School lunch in France is an hour-long class where they're taught how to like behave in a restaurant and how to eat healthy. And the food that they're served in these French classrooms is like ridiculous. It's like five-star restaurant food. That's like the idea of the movie. He's just going to all these different places, and I guess kind of to give away the punchline is that these are all actually American ideas that other countries stole from us. We just never followed through on a lot of them.
Okay.
Anyway, he's kind of saying like, why did we give up on any of these things? And some of the things are, I guess I lean, if you know me, a Democrat and a liberal, and so with them, but a lot of these things, it's like, if you're watching it, why wouldn't you want 8 weeks of paid vacation? Who the hell wouldn't want that? That sounds pretty good. He does explain for the fact that they do pay more taxes than us, but there's things that we have to pay for here that we don't call taxes, such as tuition and healthcare. And when you start to add the cost of all those other things up, I don't know if we're getting a better deal than these people that are getting taxed, in these European countries.
Right.
I thought it was a very good movie. That was like, it was very entertaining. And so I'd say give it a shot, no matter who you are. I mean, obviously, some people won't just be averse to watching anything and listening to anything he has to say. But I think there are a lot of good ideas in the film, and there's a lot of good ideas that we should fucking take from these countries. There's one kind of absurd one, though, where it's like Finland or somewhere where, like, the prison system there is, like, ridiculous. They, like, live in these, like, nice, like, lakeside cottages. Like, they have keys to their own cells and stuff. It's just kind of like they're just hanging out. There is a good point to that, too, in that, like, their prison system is built towards rehabilitating people and not, not built towards revenge or punishment.
Right.
And, and in that country, only about 20% of people who get out of prison go back, and here it's about 80%. So, something, I don't know. But there's like, they do the case of like this one guy who did like a mass murder of 50 people, and his given was 21 years in prison.
That's a. Like,
okay.
That seems a little
low, yeah.
But also, he gets a
yeah.
house.
Well, and then, I don't think anyone would agree with everything, but there's a lot of, I think, good ideas in it. But then Bernie Sanders, so.
Right.
Just to say. But it is just, it's fun and it's entertaining. It's interesting just from an informative angle to see what's going on in some of these countries, And he's not saying that, like, everything in Italy is perfect. He's cherry-picking. He's one thing he thinks is, like, cool about that country that we could borrow, He's not saying that these countries don't have their problems as well. So, I don't know. I thought it was actually one of his, like, I thought it was better than his last, like, three or four movies, honestly. So, I'd say it's worth a shot, Oh, and I'm going to go 4 stars on it. I enjoyed it.
All right. Is that in theaters or is that available on demand? Or?
It's, it just came out on, like, DVD and Blu-ray. And so you might be able to rent it, on demand as well, probably. I saw it through, I just got this through Netflix. But, I'd recommend it, dude. It's a fun movie. So,
all right.
That's all the new, like, kind of big new things we saw. Oh, no, I guess there's, like, just a quick little break here so I can grab another beer. But I guess you did see another new to video release, and be interested in your thoughts on that.
Okay.
Break
time.
Yeah, we'll take a quick little break and then discuss Point Break, I guess.
All right.
Am I still coming through on the audio well?
Yeah, you sound fine.
Okay, so it's mostly me. I mean, I can hear what you're saying, but it gets a little stuttery, I guess, or whatever. Yeah, because my computer is just going to explode. Like, it's just going to fucking explode.
All right. Well, we don't want that to happen, but hopefully everything comes through fine when it hits YouTube, so I can pull the audio down.
We'll see.
Yeah.
Let me grab a beer and we'll start to
all right
things up a little bit.
Yep. All right. All right, I'm back.
All right. I'm seeing all these. I got a notification to be a newbie too. So coming up kind of recent, I guess somewhat recent to DVD and stuff is Point Break, which I avoided like the plague. How did you feel about it, Chris?
Well, you were smart to avoid it like the plague. I have fond memories of Point Break from when I was younger. Keanu Reeves, Patrick Swayze. It's not the best movie, but it's a fun little kind of like, cop criminal movie. Fast and Furious, the original The Fast and the Furious, borrows a lot from Point Break. It's actually kind of like a modern day, well, I guess they're both modern day, but kind of like a more recent retelling of that type of story, where, you know, a cop infiltrates a gang of criminals and happens to actually grow to have a bromance with the head criminal. I enjoyed Point Break. I enjoyed the Fast and Furious movies. So I was like, hey, maybe this one will be okay. So I gave it a watch, and oh my God, I don't know how you make a movie with such beautiful scenery, with such great cinematography, so boring. I fell asleep twice watching this movie. It's so dull. Like they make what should be these amazing action-packed sequences, they make them terribly dull, to the point where it's like you don't even care that there's like pretty stuff happening on screen. It's just like, when is it going to end? Oh, now I'm sleeping.
I like the action parts of it are not good.
Yeah, they're just dull. Like they're beautifully shot. Like they look great, but nothing is interesting really happening in it. So. And there's not really that many of them. Like, if you've seen the trailer, you've seen all the action sequences.
Yeah, like, I saw the trailer. The right spirit, like, of the original. They've added wingsuits. That's the one thing I remember. They're like, in wingsuits, just flying around. That's, and I was like, it looks, like, I don't want to taint, like, yeah, Point Break is not like an amazing, amazing film, but it is a fun like action movie of our youth or whatever, you know. So it's like
it's a competent action movie. Like
it still kind of holds up. The last time I saw it, so it's like really fuck with that and turn it into something that's, you know, pretty and dull. And
so they
any personality to it.
No, that's like none of the characters have any personality. You don't care about like Johnny Utah, which was a Keanu Reeves' character in the original. This one, he's a former dirt bike motocross star. Not even a star. He was like a YouTube extreme sports sensation. And like early on, I think it's in the opening scene, he is doing this thing with a GoPro, and they're riding what they call the spine, and it's this really narrow pathway along these really high cliffs, and he's riding it with his buddy, and he makes this jump and over this like chasm, and he lands it perfectly, and he's standing there, and he's like yelling to his buddy to do it, and his buddy does it, and his buddy overshoots it and dies. Like, it shouldn't be funny, but it was like, oops. Like, he just slides right past Johnny Utah and down to his death. And it's all done in slow motion. Like, the entire bike sequence is like these – it's this beautifully shot, like, wonderful, exotic locale. Like, it should be pretty cool. It's just not. Like, there's no excitement to the action. There's no drama when Johnny's friend dies. It's just dull. And then somehow, I guess he decides he wants to be an FBI agent, and he goes to FBI agent school or whatever. And it's like something like he goes to the training program. And he's not even really an agent when he gets tasked to do this. He's given provisional agent status because he's the only one, being like a former extreme sports YouTube star, that can bust in and get into this gang, which is trying to do this thing called the Eight, or it has like a ridiculous name, but it's these eight insane stunts that will bring you to enlightenment. Like, it makes zero sense.
Yeah, I remember that from the trailer.
Yeah, so it's like that. That's what they're trying to do.
What the plot of the original was, really? Originally, they were just kind of like bank robbers. And
yeah, they were just bank robbers.
Did that to fund their, like, you know, hedonistic lifestyle where they surf and skydive and shit. Yeah, and we'll rob a bank so we can keep doing this.
Exactly. They were there was no, like, we got to do this to because we're trying to do like the extreme stunts and reach enlightenment. It was, hey, we need money to continue to drink and smoke pot and yeah, surf and skydive and do crazy things. We need that money. In this one, they have a financer who is like this, like they have like this financer he has like worth millions and millions of dollars, and he throws these lavish parties and owns like a huge boat, and he's the one that kind of carts them all over the world. But the premise behind the crimes here is that so every time they do one of these points on their road to enlightenment, they have to give something back. So each of their crimes is some sort of environmental crime, where they're either they attack a gold mine. Like the gold that's being transported, they attack that and cause an avalanche, so the gold goes back into the ground, or they rob a bank and give the money to the poor people. Like, it's just this ridiculous notion that, hey, we have to do these crimes because we're taking something from Earth and we need to give something back. Like, and Johnny Utah is chasing this. It makes zero sense. Johnny Utah is chasing them now.
They pretended that they had like a higher purpose, but they really didn't. Like, it was just bullshit, you know. Yeah. And also, if I remember correctly, the first one, Johnny Utah was an extreme sports dude. Like, he went into that world out and like surf and stuff like that.
Oh yeah,
in the original one.
If I remember correctly, and I haven't seen, and I probably should have watched the original again, but Johnny Utah was he was an ex-college quarterback. In that that movie. So that was kind of how like they tied him. That was how people knew who he was that he was this ex-college quarterback. So, yeah, I'm going to go 2 stars on Point Break, though. It's not a good movie.
What would you say? How many stars are in here?
2 stars. It's really not worth giving a watch at all.
You're breaking up on me now, so I didn't hear.
Oh, no.
I heard you say it's not worth. I heard you say it's not worth watching at all.
Yeah, I would go with that. So, 2 stars though. 2.
Okay. Well, I guess before my computer explodes here from overheating, save this stuff for next time or not? Conjuring and The Purge. I'll try to. I'll see if my computer can handle this. If you got like, you know, another 10 minutes or so.
Sure, go ahead.
First up, I saw The Conjuring, which is a really old fashioned ghost story. Like,
yep,
there's no real twist on the formula. It's super earnest. And it believes in the strength of an old school horror movie, like an old school ghost story. So strongly in that material, it kind of works. Like, kind of didn't have to put any big spin on it. It was actually just pretty good sticking to basics. It's like a family moves into a farmhouse. Weird stuff is going on. They hire these paranormal investigators, which is the Warren family, which those are the people that did the Amityville house, right?
Yes, they're real people, yes.
Yeah, and that's the cool thing, too. At the credits, they start showing you pictures of these real people. Now, when I was watching the movie with my girlfriend, I go, I know those Warrens are real people, Amityville house. I go, but I don't know if this story is real. But at the end of the movie, they showed pictures of the family in the movie, too. So I was like, I guess this haunting was apparently like a thing that happened as well. It was a good movie. Like, I liked it. I don't know how excited I am for a sequel, but just as just an old school ghost story, it was done well and asked. Like, I really liked Vera Farmiga and Wilson as the Warrens. I think they did a good job, and just like how much they believe in, like, oh, this is the devil or whatever. Like, they're just so believing bullshit. And which, you know, this is based on, I guess, on real stuff. I don't believe in any of it, but I just, the fact that the movie just believes so strongly in the effectiveness of an old school ghost story, it's kind of refreshing in a way. Not too much like in Insidious, but Insidious had like a little twist on it, and this is just very just haunted house, you know.
Yep,
I enjoyed it though. I thought it's well it's kind of like a little old 70s movie with these like awesome like zoom in shots of stuff, just well crafted. So I liked it. Are you planning to go see the sequel?
I want to. I like the original. I kind of agree with you. It's very well crafted, and it's a pretty damn good haunting story.
Yeah. I am whether they'll keep up that quality for a sequel, but is James Wan doing the sequel?
He is. He's directing it. So,
Well, maybe they pull it off. But I just, even just looking at the trailer for the sequel, I'm like, I don't know, maybe. Much more interesting, and actually, oh, and I'd say that I'd probably give 4 stars to The Conjuring. But not as good as The Purge. That movie, it's kind of a mess, but I thought it was pretty damn interesting. Just the whole idea of, well, the idea of the world, you know, one day a year, America gets to fucking let loose its aggression and fucking just kill people. Really a way of, you know, you kind of were telling me this when we talked about it before, where it's like a kind of a way of controlling the poor population.
Yeah.
And by doing so, you also will then, well, crime rates will be down because there's less poor people out there, you know, less people struggling to survive. It's a very, like, I can never see a, like, it's hard for me to buy a world in which this is all. But then when you look at things like Flint, Michigan, where they, like, just poisoned the whole population there in the water, you're like, eh, maybe, you know, I don't know, maybe it's not too far off of something that could happen.
And not to get political here, but we are, you know, 6 months away from potentially having a President Trump. So
who could start the purge?
Right. he could be the catalyst for all this. So
maybe this does come true, because I think this one takes place in like 2022 or something like that. Like, it's, you know, for. So I find the premise in the world very interesting, and you said as much as well. Idea that it's this, you know, we're following this rich who got rich on like this security system that the husband Ethan Hawke developed, and there's people that kind of resent them for that because they're getting rich off the purge too, and these people have, like, they live in this really nice neighborhood where they're there because of all the money they get off their neighbors. Like, there's, the movie has also just this whole race and class warfare element to it, taken to a major extreme. It's like, this is taking class warfare to a whole new level. I do think that, like, they really shortchanged the black character in the film, though, who's this guy that the son lets in their house. Like, the son sees this guy running down the street. He lets the guy in the house because he's, you know, running for his life. And the movie doesn't do a whole lot with him. Like, he's, like, used as a plot point, and it's an interesting plot point, but, like, the movie forgets about him for long stretches. In fact, there's one point, the family's got him all tied up, and they're going to, like, let him back out of the house so that these killers could have him. Otherwise, the killers are going to come in for them. And everyone except for Ethan Hawke, like, everyone, like, the mom, the son and the daughter are like, we can't do this. This is wrong. Like, we can't do this. And so finally, like, Ethan Hawke comes around, the family decides, we're going to fight. Like, we're going to, this poor innocent guy, and we're going to fight back against these fucking assholes outside.
Right.
And then they leave the black guy in other rooms duct taped to a chair. And I asked you about that, and you wouldn't trust him. And, like, I could see that because they just stabbed him in the fucking belly and stuff. And, like, maybe he's pissed off. And we're not going to feed you to the fucking wolves. Like, let's try to fight that.
Right.
You would think that, like, all right, the guy's going to be cool. Like, but no, like, just leave him there. Like, you need everyone. Like, you don't know how many people are coming into your house to kill you. And they just leave this guy strapped to a chair, and he has to, like, actually slips out of the duct tape. And then even after he slips out, they don't do a whole lot with his character, which I thought was kind of disappointing. Once, like, this group of killers break into the, it was not as exciting of a payoff that I thought it would be. Like, I don't know, just everything kind of happens within 10 minutes. Like, everyone, like, whoever gets killed, whoever's going to live, it kind of all happens within 10 to 15. Like, there's one cool part where Ethan Hawke's, like, fending off, like, four different people at once. And he's just, like, shit's just blowing up, kind of, like. But or not, like, it resolves itself. And then it goes into a weirder place where the neighbors show up. Yeah, I don't know. Like I said, I think it's a bit of a mess, but I found it enjoyable enough and very interesting. And so I'm interested to see where it goes in the sequel, and, you know, I want to see the third one. I think the trailers for the third one look really interesting, but as the first one, it's messy, but it has a little bit more going on than I expected going in, honestly.
And they do a pretty good job of world building with it, which I enjoy the first more than the second, but I still want to see the third because the world they've created is this terrifying version of America. So,
oh yeah, I'd probably go 3 stars on the first one. We'll see how the second one fares for me. I haven't heard too much about it other than you saying it's not as good, but
it's a different, we'll see, very different movie from the first one.
The third one looks interesting in that there's like a politician who's trying to take on this system, and it looks like it's going to follow her through that night. And there's, you know, there's interests that are going to want to take her out. And then there's other people who like believe in her, like her supporters that are going to try to protect her. That's what it looks like to me.
Right.
And that looks interesting. Like it's a good idea. Like, I just wish that the first one, like the first one was just like a step or two away from being a pretty damn like special movie. And as it is, it's just kind of a, like it's a entertaining that is a bit messy and has some really interesting ideas in it. So, well, I mean, I'll get my thoughts. I'm going to watch that. Do you have anything coming up for next time, Chris?
I will have seen X-Men Apocalypse. That's a definite.
So. Okay. I'm kind of on the fence on it now, but mostly on reviews I've seen out there. But I like all the other ones, so I don't know.
Yeah, the reviews are mixed at best, but I feel I've seen all the other X-Men movies. I kind of need to go see this one, so.
That's kind of how I feel about it. But the only, I think the main thing that's holding me back from really wanting to rush out, I really, really am tired of comic book movies at this moment. Like, there's two that I enjoyed this year, Deadpool and Civil War, but like, I'm just so sick of it, man. Like, I want something else.
I could see that for sure.
The only thing I can guarantee new for next time, and it's not really even new, but it's something that I don't think either of us have watched, is Krampus. I will see that.
No, I do want to see that, though. Maybe I'll go rent that from Redbox.
Other than that, yeah, I don't really have a plan yet for next week, but usually things pop up.
Yeah, we'll figure something out.
The one other thing that I haven't brought up with you out there right now, I think we'll probably do an episode soon week. I don't know if that'll end up being next week, but of like our favorite, because we're getting near the midpoint.
We're getting close to the halfway point.
Yeah, so we'll save that for a week when there's not a whole lot going on that, you know, that we're excited about. So, but yeah, thanks for listening or / watching. We'll see. Hopefully this all works out. This is an experiment for us. We're using a totally different recording method.
Yeah.
Hopefully it all works.
Hopefully it works. Hopefully the two people that have popped in over the course of us recording this had an okay time with it. So, yeah, I guess we'll be back soon.
We'll see you next week.
Yep.
Movie dudes.